Hi guys, and welcome back to English Harmony video blog. I'm Robbie from EnglishHarmony.com, which is your one-stop shop for English fluency related information. And in today's video, we're going to have an interview with Paul and Rachel from LanguageTrainers.com. And to be honest with you, Paul has been a great contributor to my blog. He's written a number of blog posts focusing more on grammar related matters. And I published them, and there's been great feedback. And even though English Harmony is not about grammar, my stance, my position, and the whole English Harmony philosophy is that you don't have to be focused on grammar so much. You'd rather immerse yourself in the language and you acquire all the grammar naturally. But it doesn't mean that I would be somehow against grammar, right? And Paul has been very helpful, shedding some light on certain grammar-related issues in his articles that I've published on my blog in the past. And then, one fine day, we somehow got talking about various English exams, and turns out that Paul prepares students to pass the TOEFL exam, which is one of the biggest English tests worldwide, obviously. There's the IELTS, and then there's the TOEFL exam. And we decided to inform you guys on what TOEFL is all about, and what it consists of, and are there any specific strategies you should be aware of prior to taking this particular test. So without further ado, let's get into the actual questions which I've prepared based on your emails and comments, my friends. So basically, it's all about you, my blog visitors. You've been asking questions about TOEFL and other exams, and this is the first video in the series where I'm going to be interviewing English teaching professionals and asking specific questions in relation to how to pass specific tests and exams and how to prepare for them, right? So, let's get down to the business, and here's the first question. To begin with, can you tell us, please, in a few words what TOEFL is all about, just in case some of our listeners might not have heard about it yet?
Hey Robbie, thanks for that nice intro. So, as you know, I'm Paul.
I'm Rachel.
And we are representing Language Trainers, which offers tailor-made language classes all over the world. So today we're going to be talking about the TOEFL, which means the Test of English as a Foreign Language, and it's designed to test your proficiency in English. Mm-hmm. So it's 4 hours long, and it covers the four main areas of the English language: reading, listening, writing, and, of course, speaking.
Thank you very much. Now, next question. I know maybe it's a gross generalization, but would it be fair to say that IELTS is the British test because of its popularity in the Commonwealth countries, and TOEFL is its American counterpart?
Yeah, that's definitely a fair thing to say. So the TOEFL is pretty different from the IELTS, most notably in that it does not explicitly test grammar.
Right, we'll be talking about that later.
But the general purpose, the idea behind the two exams is the same. So it's used by American universities and businesses to assess whether their prospective students or employees are good enough at English to be part of the company or to attend the school.
Thank you very much. And now, if a foreign English speaker has decided to get their English knowledge and skills tested, in what situations TOEFL is the right option?
There are three main reasons you would take the TOEFL. The first is if you're a student who wants to go to university in the United States. You'll need to send a TOEFL score with your application.
Another really common reason is if you want to work in the United States. So most American companies require a TOEFL score as part of the application.
Right, and third, you can take the TOEFL even if you're not a student or a professional. If you think your English is good enough and you just want to get the test out of the way, go ahead and take it.
But be careful, because TOEFL scores only last for 2 years. So if you wait too long, you'll have to take it again, and no one wants to do that.
Okay, thanks a lot for shedding some light on this issue. Now, speaking of preparation for the test, is it necessary to prepare for each of the four parts, reading, listening, speaking, and writing, individually by doing very specific types of exercises? Or is it possible to score a high mark just by improving your overall English skills through full English immersion, enjoying all types of media in English, and doing some writing on top of that, and communicating with other people?
Yeah, so the TOEFL is designed to test your overall fluency in English and is not designed to test a perfect command of grammar. In fact, as we said before, there's not even a grammar section on the exam.
Right. Therefore, not only is it possible, but actually better to use full English immersion while you're preparing for the test, rather than studying long lists of vocabulary and grammatical rules. This will improve your overall fluency, which will help you in all four sections of the test.
Thanks a lot for such a great answer. Now, would I be right in saying that writing is the most important skill set necessary to pass the TOEFL test? I mean, you provide written answers to the reading, listening, and obviously the writing part of the test.
Writing is definitely important, and I know that the writing section is usually the most feared on the exam, after speaking, that is.
Right, but I would actually argue that reading and listening are more important skills than writing.
That's true, Paul. The reading and listening sections are almost entirely multiple choice, meaning you have to clearly understand what you read and hear.
So the writing section itself actually depends on reading and listening, too.
Right. You have to write a response based on a reading passage, as well as an audio of somebody responding to that passage.
So don't stress yourself out too much with writing, and instead focus on reading and listening, which will be much more useful to you in the long run.
Okay. Now, reading and listening seem to be really important for the TOEFL, right? So what study tools do you recommend for practicing reading and listening skills?
Well, for reading, I recommend that you do just that. Read. So read blogs in English, read newspapers in English, read books in English. Just surround yourself with English language reading material as much as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. If you haven't already, try changing the settings on your phone into English. Change your Facebook into English.
Change everything,
just so you're always squeezing in some extra English language practice even when you're on the go.
Those are great tips, Paul. Also, to practice listening, there's a couple of resources you can use. Check out TED Talks, for example, on YouTube.
So TED Talks are really good because they're academic, and therefore they're pretty similar to what's being tested on the TOEFL.
Exactly.
And then another thing that's really similar to what they test on the TOEFL are online listening tests. So Language Trainers has English language listening tests,
yep,
where you hear a native speaker say something and then you answer questions based on what they said. Now, this format is exactly the same as the format on the TOEFL.
Mm-hmm.
So it can give you a pretty good idea of what kind of score you're going to get on the listening section of the TOEFL. So you can check out the link to those exams in the description of the video below.
All right, thanks. And now, in terms of the listening section, what do the speakers sound like? What kind of accents do they have?
Great question, Robbie. You know, over the past few years, the TOEFL has really expanded the variety of English accents they use in their listening section.
That's right. So at first, they only used American English accents,
mm-hmm,
but recently they started incorporating accents from all over the world. So that means you're going to be hearing accents from the UK, from Australia, from New Zealand. Any English-speaking country is fair game.
Right, it's fair game, so prepare yourself for that. If you're used to listening to the American accent, try listening to the British one. Language Traders has a really great game to prepare yourself for this. If you check the link below in the description, it'll take you to our English accent game, where you can hear English accents from all over the world.
All right, that was very helpful. And now I'd like to touch upon the spoken aspect of TOEFL. As all of our listeners are very well aware, my area of expertise is the spoken English fluency, and that's what I'm focusing on my blog at EnglishHarmony.com. So the first question is, how long does the speaking part of TOEFL last?
So as we said before, the speaking part of the TOEFL is definitely the one that scares everybody. There's a lot of anxiety that goes into the speaking section. But don't worry, it's not as long as you think. It's actually only 20 minutes from start to finish. And you'll only be speaking for 6 of those. So the rest is reading, listening, and planning. In fact, there are 6 tasks, and for each of them, you speak for only 1 minute. So it's not as long as you'd think.
All right. And how important is it to be able to speak well in order to pass the test? I mean, whatever you score in the speaking part constitutes only 1/4 of the overall score. So considering that speech is actually something that so many foreigners struggle with, is it possible to achieve your target score if you're not orally that fluent in English? Let's assume for argument's sake that you score the top scores in all other parts, so you only need to amass 10 points in the speaking part in order to achieve the overall score of 100, which avails you of entry to the top universities in the United States, right?
Unfortunately, that's not quite true. To get into Harvard, you need at least 109. Theoretically, if you ace the other three sections, you could squeeze by with a 19 on the speaking.
But, unfortunately, that's not going to work. So, TOEFL scores, in addition to presenting your overall score, present the scores for each individual section, which includes the speaking part.
Right. Therefore, if you get a low score on speaking, most jobs or universities won't consider your application, even if you do well on the other three sections.
All right. And now, can you tell us how exactly the student is expected to perform during the speaking part? As far as I'm aware, during the IELTS test, for example, you're required to use an awful lot of redundant language, and also the answers have to follow more or less quite a specific pattern. Is that the case with TOEFL as well?
The TOEFL is more open-ended than the IELTS. So, no, there's no specific pattern for answering the questions. The speaking section is graded on three areas. We'll explain those.
So first, there's delivery, which has to do with your flow of speech. So it's okay to make a few minor mistakes, to say every now and then, but if you want to get a good score, you'll have to speak confidently and at a normal pace.
Right. Second, there's topic development, which has to do with how well you answer the question. Make sure that you spend time thinking about what you're saying, not just how you're saying it. You can get a good score in this section if your response is relevant to the task and your ideas are clear.
Right. And then the third grading component is language use, and this is about vocabulary and grammar. So they want to see that you know a wide variety of words and that you use them well. So for this section, there are actually a few key words and phrases that can help you connect your ideas. So these are phrases like, in my opinion, for example, moreover, in conclusion. So you can check out Language Trainer's post about these transition words on English Harmony, and the link is in the description.
That was very helpful indeed. And now I'd like to discuss some grammar-related matters. Grammar is the holy grail of a lot of English learners, but I personally believe that the best way of going about English studies is practicing your listening, reading, writing, and speaking, thus acquiring all the necessary grammar naturally. I personally find that if you're too focused on learning specific grammar rules, and then you try to implement them in specific situations, the resulting language is somewhat awkward and artificial. So, how is grammar assessed during the TOEFL test?
As we hinted at before, grammar is not directly measured in the TOEFL.
What?
Yep, you heard me. There's no section devoted to grammar.
Well then, how do they assess how well you understand grammar of English?
Instead, grammar is measured by how well you speak, write, and understand. Because after all, you have to be at least fairly good at grammar in order to understand other speakers.
That's true, and we really do want to emphasize that grammar is not the most important part of taking the TOEFL. I think that a lot of people waste time studying grammar when they could be taking a more holistic approach to learning English, which would help them not only with the TOEFL, but with the English language in general. It's possible to get a perfect score on the TOEFL even if you make a few mistakes, because after all, even native speakers make mistakes sometimes.
That was very helpful. Thanks a lot. So, to wrap it all up, do you think it's necessary for the student to focus on grammar studies predominantly when preparing for TOEFL? Wouldn't that time be much better used to develop your ability to perform those specific tasks?
Right. So for the purposes of the TOEFL, improving your overall fluency is the most important thing. Of course, it's also important to have a basic foundation of grammar, because otherwise you won't be able to write or speak well. But the TOEFL is not a test of how well you know grammar. It's a test of how well you can communicate in English.
Right, so think of your goals in terms of communication. The point is to understand and be understood. If you can do that, the TOEFL should be no problem for you.
Right, exactly. And I think that pretty much sums it up. Don't forget to check out the links in the description of this video.
Thank you, Robbie, for having us, and thank you, listeners. Good luck on the TOEFL.
Bye,
guys.
Now, thanks so much, Paul and Rachel, for taking your time answering all these questions in the very detail. I'm pretty sure that our listeners are going to appreciate this information, and I'm very hopeful that this sheds some light on the whole TOEFL issue for those of you who are planning to take the test and who are maybe to those of you who haven't actually decided which test they have to take, but now I'm hopeful that it's going to steer you in the right direction. So, thank you, Paul and Rachel, once more. It's been a great experience chatting with you, and obviously, those who have further questions, don't hesitate to publish them in the comment section below. No matter where you're watching this video, whether it's the YouTube channel, or it's my blog at englishcomedy.com, or maybe it's the Facebook page where you're watching it right now, don't hesitate to publish any questions, and I'm pretty sure that Paul is gonna find some time to answer them, because he's the professional, right, in this particular aspect of English teaching. My personal expertise is the Fluency Star Coaching Program, where we're focusing on spoken English fluency predominantly and exclusively. But for those of you guys who are interested in some specific exams such as TOEFL and IELTS, obviously these professionals such as Paul, and I'm sure that I'm going to feature a lot of other English teaching professionals in my videos in the future, right? I'm sure that these guys will be very helpful in your quest for English skill evaluation, basically, right? Okay, thanks for watching this video, and talk to you soon again. Bye-bye.